It was great, man. Just the excitement from the beginning of the game. You know, I felt the energy, I felt the love. So I wanted to just come out there and show my love back. And I just wanted to play well on both ends of the ball, ultimately get the win. I think, you know, we started off a little slow, especially in that first half for whatever reason. But second half, we picked it up. We were more aggressive on both ends of the ball, and we played our brand of basketball. I mean, just exciting, man. I love the fans. Just felt like home. You know what I mean? So I mean, just the love, the support, man, from looking around and just, you know, we love you, James. That right there, like, makes me go out there and play harder. And I just wanted to do whatever it takes to get the win.
I got a new nickname for you. I have a new nickname for you. Holly the Harden hater. That's what I'm gonna start calling you. I was thinking about this after yesterday's show. Holly the Harden hater.
Holly
Because
the
I know it
Harden
must really make you sick to your
Harden.
stomach to see him
The
flourishing
Harden
like this.
Harden
To
hater.
see
I'm trying to shorten
somebody.
it. I want to get that player efficiency rating up a little bit. I just want to shorten it
I
just a
like
little bit.
the
Maybe
little, I
take
didn't,
the
if I
art,
wanted to shorten
Harden
out,
hater.
if I wanted to shorten it, I would have. It's for the alliteration.
Yeah, I
Holly,
mean, you can still get
the
Harden,
Harden hater.
Holly, the Harden hater. Yeah,
Yes,
okay.
that's why I did it that way. So anyway, but point, let's
Yeah.
but wear it. Wear it proudly, because I know
Just
it must really
call
make
me
you
Triple
sick.
H. Is that
There you
taken? Call me
go.
Triple
There
H.
you go. That's okay for purposes of this conversation. You got it.
All right.
Because it must really make you mad to watch somebody force his way out of Houston and get his way to Brooklyn. Force his way out of Brooklyn
Wait, wait.
and get his way in Philadelphia. What I skipped
Don't
over
skip
something? I
over.
conveniently skipped
Don't
over something? What did
yeah,
I
you
skip
did.
over?
Don't skip over the
Why?
stops. Don't skip over the stops. So forced his way out of Houston. Then what happened? He got to Brooklyn. What happened there? How do you, I mean, what
Forced
happened?
his way out of
What
Brooklyn.
did he do?
I just said
I know,
that.
but what did he do
Yeah.
there while he was there? What did he do?
Well, last year he was an MVP conversation when he got there. I'm glad you asked
Okay,
that
okay. All
because
right.
that actually
Okay.
dovetails into what I want to say about
MVP.
Philadelphia. When he got
MVP
there, he was
conversation.
one of the
I like
best
that.
players in the league when he got there, but he was never going to be MVP
Yeah.
because of people like you. And then he got hurt at the end of the season, and we all know the rest is, of course,
You're
history.
funny.
He
I
got
like you,
hurt.
man. I
Kyrie
like you.
got
You're funny.
hurt. The rest is history. Okay. Now, this year, he dogs it toward the end in Brooklyn. And now you're seeing a focused, committed James Harden, who last night against the Knicks, second game against the Knicks, what was it,
Yeah.
26, 9,
Yeah.
and 9? 26, 9, and 9. But it's not just James Harden. Embiid still getting his with 27.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey is
Maxi.
really stepping into that third option spot with 25. And so I just know that you're gonna hit me. The reason I called you Holly the Harden hater is I just came in today
Yeah.
with the expectation that you would hit me with a combination of two things, or three things maybe.
Okay, here it is. Here it
Small
is. You get your
sample
preemptive
size.
strike. You'll get your preemptive
Small
strike.
sample
Okay.
size.
Got nothing.
Small sample
Nope. Got
size.
nothing to say about that. Got nothing to say about
Two
that.
of these games, against the Knicks.
You can't pick your schedule.
And
The schedule pick for
wait
you.
for
I
it.
got nothing to say about that.
And wait for it. Wait and just wait for it. Eventually, it'll all fall apart. That's
There it is.
that's what you're gonna tell me.
That's the
What?
one.
So
I
that's the
like
one.
that one.
Okay, go right ahead.
That's the
I
one.
fully
I like
expected
that
that.
streak. I like
Not
that
to get
streak
caught
right
up
there.
in what my eyes are telling me, that this is an amazing fit with Joel Embiid, that
Yes.
this is arguably the best duo in the NBA already. Don't believe that, Michael. Just wait for it, is what you're going to tell me, right?
You
Wait for it
know,
to fall
listen.
apart.
We've talked about you. Yeah, I saw in that clip, that best of clip. You talk about the KIT and last day of school pimping and all that stuff. One of the signs we talk about relationships a
Hey,
lot on the show. One of the signs.
Pimpin', do this
There
real
it is.
quick. Do that real
Oh,
quick.
okay.
Do
Okay.
that.
Oh
Just
yeah. Thank
real
you. See,
quick. Do
that's
that real
love.
quick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's love right there. That's
All right.
love. Because some
All
people
right.
let
Go
you.
ahead.
And that's a sign of a relationship going nowhere too. You got something in your nose, something in your teeth, something on your lip, and nobody tells you about it. Okay, that's somebody you really can't trust. That's a fake friend. That's a superficial relationship that's going nowhere. But I tell you another sign. I tell you another sign of a relationship going nowhere. You sit down with somebody, and they are just so complimentary of you, under the guise of, well, they're talking about you, but they're talking about somebody else. You know what? Michael Smith, you're such a gentleman. Last man I was with, he never opened a door for me. You know, he never would pay for for the dinner. He always made me pay. You know, we and under the guise of liberation, he'd say, Let's go Dutch. You know, let's pay for our own. You got this. You got an extra soda, so you got to pay more. You know, you're so kind. You're so handsome. You're so nice. The last one I was with, okay, look, I understand. Philadelphia, the Philadelphia fans are that person, the James Harden. We love you, James. James, we're so glad you're here. You know who they are? You know who else they said that to? They said that to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons used to hear that. He was the number one pick in the draft. He was part of the process with Joel Embiid. They loved him too. They loved him up. Come here, Ben. So good to see you. We're so excited about our future. You're a big point guard who can do it all. You should be defensive player of the year. They were saying that last year about Ben Simmons. Last year. Hey, as a matter of fact, the coach is loving you up right now. Our former black president, Doc Rivers. He lost the presidency. But our former black president, Doc Rivers, was talking about Ben Simmons. And people don't understand all the things that Ben Simmons brings to our team. So, enjoy it now. As a matter of fact, I'm not Holly the Harden hater. I am Harden's advisor right now. I'm advising him, don't get caught up in this. Don't go to Instagram looking for the likes. Okay? They're there right now. But just wait. Just wait. They've done this before. Okay, it's early. I'm glad they're having fun. I'm happy.
You know,
for James.
I gotta say, all right. Here's a backhanded compliment, which is since it's not backhanded. This is coming to front end.
I turned it around.
Yeah, but it was bullshit though. It was not in a good way, not in a clever way, not in an effective way. Like, the backhanded compliment is, you never cease to amaze me with your contortionism. Like, you should be a halftime act at an NBA game. You are one of the best contortionists I've ever seen when it comes to moving the goalposts or redirecting an argument or building a straw man or grasping at a straw man or red herring. Like, so what I did not expect today, I expected you to say, well, what about defense? Or I expected you to say, well, their next few games coming up are the Cavaliers, the Heat, the Cavaliers, the Heat, exactly. The Cavaliers, the Heat, the Bulls, and the Nets are their next four games. So I expected you to say, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's wait a second until they play a real good team. No disrespect to the Timberwolves.
No, I'm not gonna do
but
that.
Two games against the Knicks is not a championship contender.
Timberwolves are a good team.
You just sat up here. That's why I said no disrespect. You just sat up here and said, for essentially what I think I heard you just say was not wait for it when James Harden ends up exposing himself. It was wait for the Philly fans to turn on Harden because they're fickle. What kind of lame? What is that? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Like,
okay, let me tell you
something. On behalf of Philly fans, I apologize if they were frustrated by a guy who wouldn't shoot at all.
Frustrated.
Who
this time?
I'm talking about Ben Simmons.
This time last year.
I'm talking about Ben Simmons.
I know. I'm talking about him too.
You weren't listening. Their frustration with Ben Simmons did not begin in the playoffs last year. Their frustration with Ben Simmons goes back years. So they had been frustrated with Ben Simmons' inability or unwillingness to shoot, him coming up small in the playoffs. Last year was just the straw that broke the camel's back. And we all know what happened last year. But Philly fans, like most fans, love the one they're with until the one they're with decides they no longer want to be there. So that's why Philly turned on him when he decided to check completely out, not just the Atlanta series, but when he was like, I don't want to be here. But your argument, Michael, cannot be in good conscience.
That's it.
Philadelphia is going to turn on you, Harden. I thought you're the Harden and the Philly hater.
That's an argument. I know. No, that's not an argument. That's responding to James saying that's just all off of his, hey, they love me. I feel the love here and it makes me want to play harder. That's all that's connected to. But let me tell you this.
You should have gone first. You should have said that first. You should have led with that.
I should have let you respond
to the side. That's my bad.
You should just kind of read the room. The show led with that. We led with that today. That was
no
our
right. But you didn't respond to anything. But with the context in which you said that sounded like your skepticism about whether or not this would work. Rooted in Philadelphia is going to turn.
That's
on
already.
Him. That's what it sounded
that's
like.
That's
already. I was getting.
No. That has nothing to do. Because that's well done. My skepticism is well documented, and I'm not even going to get into that because I'm going to tell you this, Michael Smith. you are absolutely right. I accept the criticism. I agree with it, that I will strategically move the goalposts, just like Ali on the rope-a-dope. If I find myself in trouble, I'll move it around over here a little bit to get a little bit of rest before I make the next move. So yeah, I'll move it around. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But it's a nice tool to have in the bag. But if I'm a contortionist, this is what you are. You are the absolute, undisputed king of regular season championships, or championships before the playoffs have even begun. I have never seen anybody spike the football, dunk the basketball, pimp on the home run. What else? Do a little, give them one of those in hockey, whatever they do in hockey on the celebration. I've never seen anybody celebrate regular season, meaningless regular season accomplishments like Michael Smith. So am I supposed to be afraid of Philadelphia right now with a handful of games left in the regular season? Are they still, what are they, the three seed? They're still the three seed in the East, right? They're the three seed in the East. They've got two great players. They're not the only team in the East with two great players. They do. They got them. Miami's got them. Chicago's got them. The Bucks won last night. They're the defending champs. They got the best player in basketball. Yeah, I said it. They got the best player in basketball in Giannis. So I'm supposed to be afraid of Philadelphia in the regular season getting a win in their fourth or fifth game, whatever it is, with James Harden. I'm unbothered. So, that's what I am. I'm not even impressed about it.
So I think we're arriving. Now we're getting in the proximity of a point. Okay. So if you want to say
you're
that
so
I have not, yes. If you want to say that I am not convinced after three games, two of them against the Knicks, that Philadelphia is a contender, or I don't trust James Harden, I don't trust him to stay healthy, I don't trust him to continue to play like this the rest of the way.
I trust James Harden.
No, Michael, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you wanted to say something like that,
I don't.
But you don't. But that's not my point. No. I'm saying hypothetically, if that's what you wanted to say, that's one thing, okay? But for you to tell me that I'm overreacting, well, okay. So if you've seen enough from James Harden in three games, if you've seen enough of this tandem, this pairing with Joel Embiid in three games to not have any reservations about whether or not this chemistry experiment, which ain't even experimental, could work, then we don't necessarily disagree. So having said all of that, you don't think that they should be considered favorites in the Eastern Conference. You don't think people should be afraid of the 76ers. You're not ready to crown them right now. Okay, that's fair.
Right.
All we can go on is what we've seen. It's a projection. Because now I'm going back to your criticism of me, your constructive criticism of me. If you think that I overreact to regular season games, I'd rather be ahead than decide to jump on a bandwagon once they're deep into the playoffs. And then you decide to say that they're the best team. So, yeah, I'm overreacting because they ain't played the playoffs yet. I can only go by what they've done so far. And through three games, this tandem looks incredible. So it's my job to now project at how I think it's going to go in the playoffs. It's all a guessing game. I'm not saying that they're a lock to win the championship. I'm saying right now they're the scariest team. With all due respect to the defending champs.
Wow.
With those two guys, they have the best duo in the NBA right now, and perhaps the MVP and a former MVP who has regained his MVP form. So with those two guys, as well as I haven't changed anything I said over the last 3 days.
Yes, you have.
I'm not changing anything.
Okay.
I'm not changing anything.
Well,
I'm mad focused.
You haven't changed anything.
My eyes are on the prize.
You're telling
me I'm overreacting. To what else am I to react other than what I've seen so far? If you think
what
it's premature, then say that.
How do they have the bet? No, you've told me that the man coming back tonight, and we'll talk about him later, I'm sure. You told me that Kevin Durant, you think Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant, he's coming back tonight. You go on. You've told me that Kyrie Irving was born to put a basketball in the rim, in the hole. That's what he does. He's an artist. He's unbelievable. Like one of the most gifted scorers you've ever seen. You said that. So you got Kyrie and Kevin Durant. How then do the Philadelphia 76ers have the best duo in the NBA when you feel that way about the guys that are in Brooklyn? That's what I'm confused.
Okay.
So explain
unless
that to
me. Unless I've missed a development, one of them only plays role games for the time being. Okay?
Still
and
on
just
the team,
because
though.
One of them
he's
has
on the team.
He's on the team half the time. And if you want to play the draft game, okay, if Kevin Durant's the number one in this foursome, if Kevin Durant's the number one, Joel Embiid's a pretty close second right now. The third
right.
guy is Harden.
And then Kyrie is three.
And the third guy is Harden. Well, then agree to disagree.
Okay.
Agree
okay,
to disagree.
Yeah, I don't agree with
what
that.
I do know.
I don't agree. Hey,
okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't agree.
What I do know is that Harden is playing right now, and Kyrie tonight, when they play Miami, will not be playing because it's in Brooklyn. Okay? So that's where I'm at with this. If you still need to see more, that's fair and that's completely understandable. Which goes back to how I started this segment.
I don't need to see more. I've seen enough. It is entertaining. It's good for Philadelphia. It's fun. But it's not scary to me. It's effective. It's effective because they went from this is why Philadelphia, rightfully so, why 76ers fans are excited. For most of the season, they saw Joel Embiid put together an incredible MVP statement with 3 exclamation points. He was doing that by himself. No disrespect to the other guys, but he was the star. They had one star on the roster. They had one all-star, and now they added another one. So they've now caught up to some teams that have done this already. I mean, like, Miami has had stars all season. Milwaukee has had stars all season. Hell, even
you
Boston
honestly,
has two stars.
This could have been this boils down to one thing and one thing only, and this goes back through the history of our time together doing this show. And I was right how I started. I started this segment exactly the way it should have been started. Because everything you say comes back to one central point. You ain't a Harden guy. You're not a Harden. You've never been a Harden guy. You've never been a Harden guy.
But I don't hate
ever.
Him. I don't hate.
Well, you
him.
Hate on him. You hate on him.
I don't hate.
You don't
on
hate him,
him
personally. You don't hate anybody. You
love
all of God's children.
I love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I get
love
that.
Him.
You hate
With
on James Harden, and you have. You have in every ranking we've ever done. You have in every conversation we've ever had about him getting out of Houston.
Consistent.
Every conversation we had
consistent.
About Brooklyn. I'll give you that. Consistently
He's
wrong,
not my guy.
But consistent. But consistent nonetheless. Yeah. I will give you that.
I hope he does a Cincinnati Bengals. I hope he makes it all the way to the NBA Finals. And then I'll leave,
no,
I'll
you
leave
don't.
It there.
No, you don't. You don't really believe that.
No.
you don't really believe that.
Well, faith is keeping the faith, and faith is defined as believing in something with which you cannot see. And we have not seen with this year's team sustainable success and winning, but we just have not seen it yet. It does not mean it cannot happen. You know, you've seen throughout the course of sports history where teams have subpar regular seasons and catch fire at the right time. You know, and if you have LeBron James on your team, you have that ability. So, you know, we're maintaining hope that we can, you know, continue to build our habits, get over this hump, and position ourselves to have that opportunity. You know, if he's able to come back and, you know, we catch the right matchup or catch a team at the right time. And like I said, if we're able to catch fire at the right time, we're going to have a chance.
That's it, man. All right, look. Since we kind of like, you know, giving each other constructive criticism, all right, I'm also self-aware enough to know that there are times when I intentionally, when I might qualify some things, where I may hedge a little bit. That last sentence from Frank Vogel, I've never heard more qualifying in one sentence in my entire life. Just, I'm a repeat it in case you didn't hear it. I'm going to read it and repeat it. If Anthony Davis is able to come back, and we catch the right matchup or catch a team at the right time, and if we're able to catch fire at the right time, we're going to have a chance. Like, that's got to be a record. That has got to be a record for qualifying in one paragraph. So having said that, I'll stop for now. This is red meat for you because this is an Anthony Davis conversation, which I know you enjoy.
Before we get there, though, how about my man, Frank Vogel, breaking down the definition of faith straight from the book of Hebrews? Okay, things that we hope for and things that we don't see. Go ahead, preach it, Reverend Vogel. Now, it does take some faith when you got Anthony Davis on your team, because you know what you hope for and you rarely see it. That's what it is.
Ooh,
he's a
man. That was well done. That was another one that just made my soul burn slow. Like,
but
so
it's true, though, right?
He is. He is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's Anthony Davis. So you're saying if a Bible verse were a basketball player, it would be
Anthony Davis.
That's kind of cool, dog. That's kind of good.
But no, look. And this is why that, you know, we talked about this yesterday. This is why they're
like this man ain't win a championship 2 years ago, man. Like, y'all be ruthless when it come to Anthony Davis, man.
But this is why the Lakers are in this position. Like, we talked about this a bit yesterday, Mike. Oh man, how could the Lakers think they could come into this season with this kind of team? They thought it because they had Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, and I'm not blaming him. I'm not putting it all on Anthony Davis. Oh, the reason this season fell apart is because Anthony Davis is not available. But if you like any roster, you put a roster together and you say, what could it be at its best? Let's say we don't have to rely on our 7th, 8th, 9th best players. Like, we ask them to contribute, but we don't have to rely on them. And we really are asking our stars to be stars. So you look at Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and as a third, Russell Westbrook. I know that's still a little shaky. But if you got those three guys, especially with those top two, if you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you don't fear anybody. You don't fear. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear. Okay? You go into any arena knowing that you have a really good chance of winning that game. And at times, Frank Vogel, if it's the right matchup, you might even humiliate the opponent with a healthy LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis. The flaw, I guess, is expecting that. LeBron is 37. He's going to be 38 in December. And I know he's great. And he's the greatest player who's ever put on sneakers. But at 37 years old, you never fall.
I'm just playing with you.
Mm-hmm. At 37, you have to expect that he's not going to play every game this season. And with Anthony Davis, he even told you that. You can't expect he's going to play every game. So, unfortunately, the Lakers are in this space where they're going to miss the playoffs. They're going to miss the play-in, Mike.
That's what I want to get to. So,
because
remember you had that bet
the
with
Pelicans
with Mark
are like
Spears
a game and a half, right?
From the undefeated, or whatever they're calling it now. With Mark Spears.
And Skate.
You had that bet with Mark Spears about getting out of the first round, that they would not get out of the first round. And as time went on, it looked like you gave him a little bit too much credit. Like, you might not have gone as hard as you could have gone and still been safe. So that's actually where I want to get. So as it stands right now, they're in 9th. They are a game and a half ahead of the Pelicans. They are 2.5 games ahead of the Trailblazers, who got mollywopped last night. But here's the thing. Okay, forget about scoreboard watching and standings watching. They have 21 games left, starting with at the Clippers tonight. So they're in Staples Center tonight against the Clippers, okay? So it's Clippers, Warriors, Spurs at San Antonio, at Houston, which spunky young team, Washington at home, at Phoenix, Toronto at home, playoff team, then a 4-game road trip, at Minnesota, at Toronto, at Washington, cross country, at Cleveland, home against Philly, at the Pelicans, at the Mavericks, at the Jazz. Ooh. So this is, and this, I mean, look at all these road games. Then at home against the Pelicans, home against the Nuggets, at Phoenix, at Golden State, Oklahoma City at home, at Denver. Michael, over under in the last 21 games, do the Lakers win 7 of them joints?
Okay.
I mean, this may get super ugly.
It's going to be uglier than that. Because I'm taking the under.
I mean, like,
I'm going to tell you why I'm taking this. I'll tell you why I'm taking the under.
This could be really bad.
And you know, we can debate LeBron another time, his status among the greats. You know, Kareem's in the conversation. Jordan's in the conversation. LeBron, you know, we can debate that another day. I'm going to say maybe 5 more games. I think LeBron James has 5 to 7 more games left in his season.
And to play, or that they, oh, you think he'll shut it down? Okay. So even though he said he's gonna play,
so
because
I know what he said.
Yeah, I know what he said.
But come on, it really doesn't make sense either. I'm not even hating on him. I'm saying like 5 to 7 more games when those losses start to accumulate, and it's obvious, it's inevitable anyway.
But here's where
Los Angeles.
But
their fans have seen a lot of championship. They've seen great basketball for the last 50 years. If not longer. We've seen a lot of great basketball. This is not it. Shut him down.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, look, as well as the Pelicans are playing right now, and as poorly as the Lakers are playing, they could still be in playoff position. So I don't think I take him at his word when he's not going to shut it down as long as there's a chance for him to get into the play-in and the playoffs, as long as there are games to be played, meaningful games to be played. And I think there'll be enough meaningful games, given that I don't see anybody they may overtake them in the standings, but not pulling away in the standings. So I don't see him shutting it down in the next 5 or 6 games, because there's still an opportunity to make the playoffs and the play-in. So I take him at his word for that. But here's the thing.
So what?
Just to bring it full circle.
That's not the most important thing, though.
But let me just say this real quick. On Anthony Davis, to Vogel's point, let's say Anthony Davis swooped in like Mighty Mouse. Here I come to save the day. All right? Mm-hmm. They're only 500 this year with all three of them playing. They're barely over 500. I think it's like 11-9 or something like that. They're barely over 500 when all three of them play. So it's not like Anthony Davis is the answer. In theory, he should be. But what we've seen, not the evidence of things not seen, but what we have seen this year, it hasn't been like they've been dominant when he has been on the court. You were saying, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would say the most important thing is not saving face to make the play-in for the second year in a row. I mean, think about that. Mm. Who cares? Who cares? Like that was never your. We were not even supposed to be having a playoff conversation about the Lakers. Will they make the playoffs? That's the headline. That was never supposed to be the headline. You're built to be a championship level team. Last year was supposed to be the aberration.
Yeah, right. Honestly, man, I think that's what we part company.
But not just that. But no, because I'll tell you why I'm parting company from that. It's not just that the play-in is beneath me, but I'm the Los Angeles Lakers. I've got LeBron James, who said, just taking him at his word, he said, my knees are sore. I'm not going to be 100% until I have time to rest. I don't have the luxury of time. Yes, you do have the luxury of time, because you're the franchise, and we want to make sure that Anthony Davis and LeBron James, when we start talking about basketball in the 22-23 season, that everything is good.
Oh,
I don't want LeBron James getting hurt.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I don't want him getting hurt. Nope.
So you're saying
I'm shutting down.
No, we're not shutting it down. Let's go
LeBron,
home. No.
Come
Michael,
in.
No, that's not. No.
AD.
You cannot. So that's okay. Now I'm going to drink some of, I want some of whatever Frank Vogel is having now. Okay. Because, this is now, as a competitor, you can't do that. If you are the Los Angeles Lakers, mm-hmm. and delusional though it may seem, based off what we've seen, you have LeBron, and if and when Anthony Davis comes back, we've had our fun about that hypothetical, and you have Russell Westbrook, just indulge me for a moment here, and you somehow make the play-in. You can't assume, you shouldn't assume, they're not wired to assume. Nobody would assume that they don't have a chance. So they make the play in. Wait, here's what I'm saying.
Ooh.
No, I'm talking about from their perspective. You from their perspective.
Okay, go ahead.
You make the play in, and you see what happens. It could be a repeat of last year when they had Phoenix on the ropes before Anthony Davis got hurt. But my point is, if you get okay. in the playoffs, then it's like, okay, let's see what happens. Let's run it back with Phoenix again. Let's see if, like, you know, maybe who knows what could happen. Who knows, knock on wood, you know, wouldn't want to wish this on anybody, but who knows what kind of injuries could befell the Suns in the first round if they survive the play-in or whatever. I just don't, or the Warriors for that matter, whatever. I just don't think that if you have these players and you get and you can sniff the playoffs, you just get there and you take your chances. I don't believe Stop. They make it.
Stop.
Michael, I don't believe that they make it. I believe that things will fall apart. Shout out to Chinua Achebe and the Roots. I believe that things will fall right. apart the rest of this season. I believe it will get ugly. But I'm disagreeing with the notion that they should just preemptively shut down LeBron James. No.
If you can make the playoffs,
now make somebody have to deal with y'all in a 7-game series. You can't shut him down.
The reason I went, ooh, you said nobody would say they don't have a chance. I tell you who said it. LeBron said it. He said
that's
it after they lost
said.
To Milwaukee. He did
say that.
We
already covered this.
Said,
that's not what he said. He didn't say we didn't have a chance. He said we're not on the championship level with the Bucks.
Okay. Well, okay. If you're not on the championship level with the Bucks, who do you think you're playing? If you get out of the play-in, who are you playing? You're playing a championship contender in the first round because you're going to be like the 7 or 8 seed if you get out of the tournament. So
I never took
play
you for a guy.
Round.
I never took you for a guy to unplug the controller, take his game, and go home. All the times I whipped your ass in Madden, you took it like a man. You competed. And the guy that used to wear the dreads, the guy that I used to know that was a playoff foul giving, cherry picking in the backcourt, but hell of a defensive player in pickup, was always a competitor.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You don't even want to compete. You got to try. It's a perfect example.
It's a perfect example. You know what I was as a player? I was nothing. I really was a nothing basketball player. If I, you know, my
you
career
nuisance.
High was probably.
You were a
career,
nuisance as a basketball player.
My career
which
high
is
was
valuable.
Probably like 6 points. Okay, right. It's probably like 6 points. I was that kid who made a basket. Then I'd be smiling for the rest of the game because the ball actually went in the basket. So that kind of guy, yeah, go out there and play. Sacrifice him. That's a grinder. Grunt guy. Bench guy. Towel waiver. Do the little things. Get on the floor. Agitate. I was never even considered the star. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, that's your franchise. And those guys are hurt. LeBron James essentially told you at the All-Star break, I'm hurt. Now, it's not a debilitating injury, but your 37-year-old franchise player needs rest. And you're a bad team. Can we put those standings? Hey, Chica and Gary, put those standings up right
Russ,
now. Put those standings up. Right
We know the standings.
No, bring them up. I'm going to make a point. I'm going to make a point here. So the Lakers, how many games you said they have left?
21
games left? All right. You said they went 11-9 when they had all of their guys. So let's say, make them 12-9 the rest of the way. What are we doing? Okay, so you get 39 wins. You're 39-43, and you're a play-in team. What are we doing?
All right, okay.
LeBron James, if you want him to be a Laker, if you want him to be in his final year of his contract, a championship level player, this is a sunk cost.
There's no competitive athlete, no competitive person.
It's not about
competition.
It's not about
and I'm the same
it's
person.
The big, big,
yes, it
it's
is.
The big picture.
I'm the person that
the
on
picture.
Monday. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I said the sooner they're eliminated, the better. Put them out of their misery. When they mailed it in on Sunday night against the Pelicans, I was like, let somebody in that actually clearly wants to be there. Yesterday, I was like, I can't believe that we're giving the Lakers credit for playing hard. So, in general, Michael, I don't think they're going anywhere. How you can expect them to agree with that and shut it down looking ahead to next season? Come on, man. Like, you've been around too many basketball players, too many teams.
No.
You just talked about him being the greatest player ever, trying to troll me, saying the greatest player ever. You want the greatest player ever to say, yo, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're not going to win the championship this year, so I might as well just go ahead and just wait till next year and rest. That's not even realistic, bro.
It is realistic. It's the greater good. It's the greater good. And it's happened in the NBA. It happens in this NBA with bad teams.
When?
It just happened. Are we talking about any player
that have an opportunity to make the playoffs? That have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Okay.
And it's that. Well, the Lakers have an opportunity to make the playoffs. Playing is a gateway to the playoffs. That's all we're talking about. I'm not talking about down John Wall for the season.
I guess we have several levels of disagreement, because if you really think the Lakers have an opportunity to make the playoffs and do some damage,
no,
then you're
oh my god, it's so crazy how we get lost in this minutia.
They think
they have a chance.
Or have a chance.
I don't. No, you and I talked about it.
They don't either.
I said over under 7 wins in the last 21 games. Their schedule is daunting. They look terrible. That doesn't mean I think LeBron James, professional basketball player who's still alive in the standings in the playoff chase, should say, you know what? It's best if I just sit the rest of this one out. That's not even.
Technically. Okay, here's the thing. They're technically alive. Mike, they're technically alive for the playoffs. They have been, for all intents and purposes,
like
they
Brent
have
Bolden.
Been eliminated.
I'm saying there's a chance.
Yeah, you are. And there's not. They have been eliminated. It just hasn't been, that document's not official yet. Unofficially eliminated. They're going nowhere. And LeBron knows it.
Best player in the world is back tonight for Brooklyn.
There it is.
Against Miami, which suffered a nail-biting, heartbreaking loss at Milwaukee last night, which we'll touch on in a moment with our next guest. But in the meantime, Kevin Durant said, hey, I'm not the savior. It's not only about me. It's going to take more than me. It takes all of us, if I could borrow that phrase. from another league.
I'm sorry.
Scoop B from Valley Sports is here to talk all things NBA with us. Let's start with Brooklyn, man.
Let's start with what he got on. Okay, let's just start right there.
Yeah, that's I know. We got a sneak peek at it. You already might have set the record or set the bar for best dressed guest, you and Karin Phillips, but for a debut, definitely got the, for a brother from another debut, you definitely brought it. You look too good for this show.
Thank you.
Ben Simmons, not well enough yet, and may not be well enough anytime soon, may not play the rest of March. And Kyrie, we know what his situation is. Joe Harris is still out, but at least they get Kevin Durant back tonight. What's your outlook on the Nets? We all talk about their potential if everything comes together. But it feels like, Scoop, everything may, if at all, not come together until they presumably make the play-in or the playoffs. And at that point, are there a bunch of guys playing pickup, just figuring it out on the job? Is Ben Simmons really going to make his debut in the most pressure-filled situation possible, as in the playoffs?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up, number one, because when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, I actually think as constructed, they won that trade because you brought in some pieces that exponentially benefit them in this instance. One, you brought in Andre Drummond. You brought in Seth Curry. And so I think there's kind of like this Nintendo game, like, you know, you're getting your butt kicked on Duck Hunt, and you just got to hit the reset button because this is not a tale of the tape of what they were before or, you know, prior to the trade. And so I think they've added some pieces. Now, the mandate is what it is with Kyrie Irving. If you've paid attention to my work, Kyrie Irving and I have this thing. But as it relates to Kevin Durant, you mentioned him not a savior. I think he did that in the playoffs last year, and he still was a big toe short for taking them into the Eastern Conference Finals. So you look at the Nets. I am speaking your language. I'm a realist, but I also have hope that the Nets can figure this out because they do have the talent. I don't know about you, but if I'm playing pickup basketball, I think they have the roster that speaks volumes.
What'd you say? What'd you say? If you play a pickup basketball, what?
Well, if I'm playing a pickup basketball at the YMCA and Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving are available except in New York because Kyrie can't play, I'm picking all three.
Right.
And we're gonna run the tables on them guys.
And you would take your chances, but it wouldn't work that way, presumably, in playoff basketball when you're trying to figure out how to play together, and you know the other team is playoff tested or playoff ready, if you will. But I'll let you finish. Shout out to the Kanye doc. I'll let you finish, but I gotta take a problem with what you just said, because and Michael Holly has done this. We were just talking about this yesterday. He's been asking people who won the trade. How can you say today?
I don't have to ask that question.
How can you still say today that the Nets won the trade when the key piece for the Nets has not played and may not play? Who knows when he's going to play? And who knows what he's going to be when he does play? The Sixers they won that trade hands down, full stop, in the short term, and we'll see about the long term.
I mean, you played against the Knicks and you played against the Timberwolves with James Harden. The Timberwolves are nothing to turn your nose up at.
That's not the point. When is Simmons playing? Scoop. Give us a scoop. When are we going to see Simmons to be able to actually evaluate whether they want
I don't know that you will see him March 10th, next Thursday, against the Nets. I think that is going to be a very interesting game. But we have seen Kyrie and we have seen Kevin Durant play together and make moves. When you look at the playoffs last year against the Milwaukee Bucks, Kyrie hurt his ankle. His issue has always been the fact that he's been injury prone. Now the issue is COVID. So he's kind of like a relief pitcher in this sense of you playing this home, days rest away, or you're not playing at home, you're playing away. I do think that the Nets did add some pieces that were missing. You know, you have a big man and Nick Claxton that couldn't hold his own. I do like Drummond on that team. I do think that Patty Mills was one of the biggest steals of the offseason. And I'll add this. When Ben Simmons does come back, there's not the same added pressure in Brooklyn that he had in Philadelphia. People always talk about his jump shooting. His playmaking ability needs to be highlighted more. I don't know about you. I'm young, but I'm old school in this sense. We weren't talking about Magic Johnson's jumper when he played. We were talking about his playmaking ability. When I look at the Nets and I look at his ability, if he plays, what you say?
You ain't never had to worry about Magic taking shots. Magic may not have been a sharpshooter, but you ain't never had to worry about Magic Johnson, whether or not he would actually take the shot, whether or not you could play him in clutch situations.
Yeah.
But I hear where you're coming from in general. He doesn't have to fulfill the same responsibility in Brooklyn that he did in Philadelphia.
Honestly, where I like Ben Simmons stylistically is how Miami used LeBron in year two when he was moving off the elbow. He was more of a scorer. He can get to the basket. He can draw fouls. The jump shooting and his mental ability is what we've always questioned. So it's still a to be determined. Kevin Durant, you know what he can do. Kyrie, part-time, you know what he can do. But they have reinforcements. While I do believe that the Nets, as it stands now, won the trade, the Sixers are a higher seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference. That's a fact. I do like Joel Embiid. I do like, as well as James Harden playing alongside each other. I think that is the greatest screen and roll situation that we've seen in a very long time. I think the jury's still out. But as it stands now, as far as personnel goes, I think that move benefited Brooklyn.
All right. So it's interesting. At the beginning of the year, championship contenders in the East and West. I would think that Vegas was very excited about Brooklyn in the East in the NBA Finals and the Lakers in the West. Both of them are competing for just to get out of the play-in round. So we've already talked about Brooklyn. How about the Lakers? Do you see that happening? Do you see them climbing it or maintaining their spot in the play-in round and actually escaping from that hellish room?
So I listened to you guys' segment prior to me coming on, and you mentioned the New Orleans Pelicans. And I have a report that comes out of Bally Sports later today where I discussed how much better the Pelicans have gotten specifically in adding CJ McCollum in addition to their youth movement. When I look at the ninth spot, the Lakers are right behind the Clippers, who are without Kawhi or without Paul George. The issue with the Lakers since the beginning of the season has been health, whether it was COVID, whether it was Melo being hurt, whether it was LeBron being hurt, did AD being hurt. I had Ed Lover on my segment the other day, and he said, man, if Anthony Davis touches the car radio, he gets hurt. injuries has been the Achilles heel. I know that Frank Vogel has talked about how he feels like if AD comes back or if they're healthy, so be it. But shoulda, coulda, woulda. If my aunt was my uncle, we'd have a different conversation. So I'd like to see the Lakers do it. But in theory, the realistic portion of it is chemistry as well as injuries have been an issue. Who is your primary ball handler? Who is your primary scorer? When the game is on the line, does Russell take it? Does LeBron take it? I looked at this construction of this team in the offseason, and I liked it. But I'm looking at Kyle Kuzma in Washington now and scratching my head. But I also think Kuzma just needed his own place to shine. Look at all those guys that were moved for Anthony Davis. Number one, they're flourishing elsewhere. Lonzo Ball is flourishing with the Bulls. Brandon Ingram is flourishing statistically with the Pelicans. When I look at this Lakers team, I'm disappointed because sometimes you jump the gun because you know that you want something spectacular. The Lakers did win that championship in the bubble. But by the same token, I also think that the teams that are higher up are that much better chemistry-wise. I don't know about talent, but chemistry-wise, you look at the Warriors, you look at the Suns. The Suns are struggling without Chris Paul, but ultimately, they're the Western Conference champs. To be the champs, you got to beat the champs, and that's kind of where we are right now. And then you look at Memphis. I'm glad that Ja Morant and company are getting their just due, but I just think that the Lakers right now, they're missing something. They're missing not just players or bodies or health. I think it comes down to coaching some also. Who is the voice? Do you trust that voice? It's an interesting dichotomy.
All right, quick question. Should LeBron James keep playing this season, rest those knees, or just go all out and see what happens? No matter what, play those final.
I'd like to see LeBron still play.
Keep doing the same.
I'd like to see him still play. I feel like you give up something when you don't. I mean, people are playing for tickets, and more than anything else, I still think that when you're looking at the ninth seed, the eighth is not that far behind. I think you should still play. They played in the play-in tournament last year.
What other – okay, so last thing I got for you, Scoop, is tonight's a hell of a night for hoops when you talk about Bulls at Hawks, Grizzlies at Celtics, and we've touched on a few of these teams, Heat at Nets, Warriors at Mavs, and, of course, the Lakers at the Clippers. But like, you know what? I'll narrow it down. I was going to say which one of these matchups are you most intrigued by, but actually I'll narrow it down. What was your biggest takeaway involving the team that the Nets are taking on tonight, which is the Heat? So Heat – they're leading. They got the game under control. They fall apart down the stretch. Milwaukee has that furious comeback, 21-6 run. Jrue Holiday finishes off with a layup. If you're a Heat person, you look at what Jimmy Butler shot like crap. They still don't have Kyle Lowry, you know, blah, blah, blah. Things would have gone, a call would have gone differently down the end. They win that game. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. You're the Bucks, on the other hand, you showed your championship character and you still don't have Brooke Lopez. What was your biggest takeaway from a matchup that we'd all love it if we saw it once again in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Well, I think you brought up a very good point, Micah. It's the glasses. Anybody who wears glasses on this program is smart. When I look at the Miami Heat, I think one of the biggest takeaways from that team is the acquisition of Kyle Lowry has been their beneficial token in the cryptocurrency space, using a parallel. When I look at Kyle Lowry and his leadership and his friendship with Jimmy Butler, but also the personnel that's on that team, this team surprised a lot of people by the fact that they've been consistent for so long this season, but also the fact that everybody's looking at Chicago, everybody's looking at Milwaukee, who's still a champ, and everybody's been paying attention to Brooklyn, thinking Brooklyn was just going to run away with that. And so when I look at the Miami Heat and I look at the Brooklyn Nets, this is a rematch from a couple of weeks ago when the Nets were without Kevin Durant, when they were on that 11-game losing streak. The Miami Heat handed that to them. And so when I look at the Miami Heat, they're hungry because this is a Bucks team. Last season, they lost the playoffs too, that they handily beat them in the playoffs. These have some playoff implications in my mind still, because if the Nets weren't dealing with some of the things they were dealing with, this might be a different conversation. The Nets, as constructed roster-wise, should be there. But the Miami Heat have earned the right throughout the course of the season, as have the Chicago Bulls. So when you're looking at the East, the thing that's so exciting about the East and the West is that it's not like the days maybe a few years ago where it was Lakers and Cavs every year. Like, these are talented teams, young teams that aren't just a bunch of household. There's household names, but there's not guys named LeBron or Kevin Durant that are also pulling the wagon. I like it.
Hey, man, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much, Scoop, for coming through and dressing the part. I mean, you really classed up the joint in more ways than one with the commentary. But thank really you. With the, you coordinated coordinate.
You got to coordinate. I got to give credit to my stylist, Troy Atkins of Valare. His brand is right here.
You
right
got
here.
A whole stylist, dog?
Yeah, he's based in Philadelphia, Troy Atkins.
That's big time. Nice. I'm sorry. I just reach in the closet and pull out a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
And you wear it well. Impressed. You're comfortable.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. You had a whole wheel of cheese, you know?
Listen, man, I don't eat cheese, but I'll take the nachos and the vegan chili.
No doubt. All right, man. Appreciate it. Cool. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
All right, there it is. It was only a matter of time, right? The Rams won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl with a roster that was populated with tons of stars. One of their stars, their head coach, got a new contract. That's Sean McVay. A new contract is coming for Les Snead any day now. Got to be. And, of course, their best player, Aaron Donald, talking about a new contract. When there was legitimate buzz before the Super Bowl and directly after the Super Bowl that Aaron Donald might consider stepping away because the ring was the only thing missing from his decorated career. Brian McFadden joins us. Hey, Brian, when you look at Aaron Donald, did it ever cross your mind that this was a guy who really the Super Bowl was going to be the last act of his great career and he was going to step away? Or were you a little skeptical that he was actually going to take it there?
Nah, I was not concerned, and here's why. Aaron Donald is a guy who was born to beat people up in the trenches. And if he removes himself from doing that, what will he do? I mean, he's still in the prime of his years. I think the best years are still yet to come because he's just that type of player. So why would you remove yourself from doing a dominant job? Arguably one of the best interior defensive linemen to ever play this game, and you're still at a high level, not to mention, guys, when you win a championship, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Repeating, doing it all over again, trying to create a dynasty. And they have that mixed already there in La La Land. So, no, I never thought that he would walk away. Like I said, he was born to beat people up in the trenches.
So I'm going to ask you something that it may make your stomach turn. But as an analyst with CBS Sports and the All Things Covered podcast, I know you could be objective. Say you're a free agent right now and you see the Cincinnati Bengals, and you know the history, but this organization has more cap space than any other playoff team. They got Joe Burrow on a rookie contract. Are you flocking to Cincinnati to play with Joe Burrow, play for Zach Taylor, and be a part of what looks like they're building something that really may have never truly existed, which is a sustainably competitive team in Cincinnati? They never have had that, at least in the last 3 decades they haven't. Well, they had under Marvin Lewis, I beg your pardon, but a Super Bowl contending team, I should say.
A Super Bowl contender, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Let me throw my Steeler bias aside, right?
Yeah.
Throw that away,
yeah.
Right? First and foremost, to answer your question, it depends on my options, right? If I'm a coveted free agent and I have the pick of the litter, would Cincinnati be at my top tier? Probably not. Even though they have a franchise quarterback, it's Cincinnati. And yes, they had a big unexpected year this year, but when you look at the division, who's to say they might go from first to worst in the division next year? We don't know. So it depends on the options. If you look at other teams that have a lot of cap dollars available, what about Miami? No state taxes in the state of Florida. That's a plus, right? Plus for all of us. And then think about living in Miami compared to living to Cincinnati. Granted, one organization seems to be trending in a different direction than the other, but let's keep it real. If a production company offered you a job in Cincinnati, might pay you maybe $10 more million, right? And you got a
Mike Smith to take it
in Miami, offering you a role for $10 million less. Where are you going?
I'm going to Cincinnati. I'm going where I can win an Oscar.
Keeping up for Cincinnati.
No, this isn't even that. I'm going where I can win an Oscar. Like, if my option as a free agent came down to Miami or Cincinnati, that's not even an argument for me. It's not even an argument.
Wow.
I want to go play with the superstar quarterback for a team that looks legit, like it's headed in the right direction, that's got a good locker room, that's got talent, versus a team that changes coaches after they have back-to-back winning seasons and can't keep a coach. and you don't know what you got at the quarterback spot. I don't care about the beach. I go to the beach in the offseason when I'm celebrating my Super Bowl for having won in Cincinnati and beating your Steelers, Brian McFadden.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't even mention that. But like I said, though, remember the first thing I said, it depends on the options that I have.
Yeah.
Right? Now, granted, Joe Burrow, one thing I know about football, and you guys would agree with me, when you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance of winning the ball games. You won't be competitive. You won't be consistent. When you don't have a quarterback, the field becomes 150 yards. You got to go an extra 50 to score touchdowns because it's difficult when you don't have a quarterback. They have that in Cincinnati, and his future is extremely bright. And I believe they will be a competitive team, but it depends on the individual. It depends on the options that they have circulating them, depending on if they would attack and go with Cincinnati or not.
I appreciate you being as objective as possible on that. That was really, I would know that was hard.
very.
With the big Steelers jersey behind you. I know that was hard.
I know the Steelers jersey. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, Brian, it sounds like, this sounds like me earlier in the year. Because I just never really bought the Cincinnati thing all year long, even in the playoffs. Like, they won their wild card game. I said, well, wait until Tennessee gets them. Tennessee. Wait until Kansas City gets him. Were you like that? Did you ever think, even when they were leading the Super Bowl, did you think, all right, this is Cincinnati. It's different than before. They're going to win this game, and this is a team that's going to have to be reckoned with. Sounds like you're not quite there.
No, you know what? I have my reservations with Cincinnati, and it's all because of the offensive line play. Throughout the playoffs, I picked them to win the first round matchup against the Raiders. I thought that was a favorable matchup in their favor, and they took care of business. Now, second round playing against Tennessee, traveling to Tennessee, I felt like Tennessee's defense would have multiple.
Yeah, we're having some. I think we just lost Bryant there. But, you know, Mike, it was funny, though. We'll get him back. We'll reconnect. It's funny. When he was talking about Cincinnati, I was like, man, this sounds familiar. This sounds like, but it for him, it's like a Steelers thing. And you got to understand.
Cincinnati's cool for the first time, dude. This is the thing. This is the thing I think you might be missing. Like, you look at Cincinnati's history and look at, you know, the skepticism about it. It's not even about whether or not, because look, teams could go up and down. I mean, it could be a one-year wonder. We don't think it, but it could be. They could have caught lightning in the bottle. And they averaged 23 points in the playoffs. They barely won their all three playoff games and barely lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but it was like,
one possession.
So it's not to say that they're a dynasty, but the thing about Cincinnati that I don't ever remember them having, I grew up watching Boomer Esiason and Nicky Woods and Eddie Brown and James Brooks and David Fulcher. Before that, they had really Ken Anderson and our own Chris Collinsworth. They've had good teams. They had a run with Marvin Lewis where they were a playoff team but could never win a playoff game. They've never been cool. Even with Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh and Carson Palmer and those heights that they reached for a minute where Chad was doing his end zone thing and he was, you know, a master with the media. I don't remember Cincinnati ever being a national team the way that Joe Burrow, along with Chase, has an opportunity to be. It feels like they have an opportunity to be a national fan base and a destination franchise for free agents if you want to be on a ground floor of something special.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. All I'm saying is, like, I know my perspective, why I struggle with the Bengals, you know, my insight being around that team, because I was. You're absolutely right. Your take on them and how they've never been a national team is correct. I saw them up close for many years, so you never took them seriously. But for McFadden and for Steelers people, the reason it's so hard for them is because I think Ben Roethlisberger, and you guys can look this up, I think coming into this year,
he owned
his
Ohio.
Record wasn't
state,
like
yeah, both of them
26 and 5. I mean, it was just something. It's crazy.
Both teams.
Their record against the Bengals, and so when the Bengals beat them this year and beat them soundly, it was more, from a Pittsburgh's perspective, it was more like, man, Steelers got problems. Not like, oh,
Steelers
Cincinnati is real. And so I think Cincinnati is. And I'm there. But believe me, Mike, I've learned most of my lesson on the field. Now, I still kind of look at the franchise, like the infrastructure, their whole philosophy of football operations. I still look at that cross-eyed. But Zach Taylor and and Joe Burrow and like the vibe they have on the field, that's a real thing. I mean, those guys are that's a legit championship contender, and it was not, oh, Cincinnati made it and they won't be back again for a long time. Well, now you got to watch out for the Bengals.
Let's change the subject, because and Brian McFadden, you know we're gonna change the subject because we know you really just it wasn't technical difficulties, you were just having difficulty hearing about a lot of positive Bengals talk. So we're gonna spare you.
Cincinnati
gonna
talk. Go ahead.
We're gonna change the subject. It just kind of your whole computer crashed because it was too much Cincinnati positivity. Go ahead, Michael. What you got?
I can't remember what I was asking. But anyway, let's change. Let's talk about this. We got Cincinnati in the AFC, and we were talking about them. How about your Steelers? Because it's very rare that we talk about big transitions in Pittsburgh. We know what's going on. The general manager's going to leave after the draft. He was there for a long time. Mike Tomlin's been there for a long time. But now you're looking at a quarterback. If you were the Steelers, what would you do? Would you sit there and wait in a relatively weak quarterback draft and take a guy, or would you go out and try to get a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Russell Wilson and try to make something happen?
You got to go get one of these seasoned vets and bring them in, because clearly the answer at the quarterback position currently is not in the facility. I know if the season was to start today, Mason Rudolph is your starter, but I don't know how hopeful you are in his ability to be able to lead this team to potential playoffs, a playoff spot. So, yeah, go out and do something that Pittsburgh hasn't really been known to do, which is go out and acquire a big-time free agent at the quarterback position. You talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. You talked about Russell Wilson. We heard rumors with Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Heck, even Carson Wentz may be available. I think all of those names would be much better than what they already have in place. And we've been talking
Carson
about the division, right?
Wentz, hold on, I mean, hold
listen,
on.
Listen, I'm not a Carson Wentz fan.
In that little break.
I'm not a Carson Wentz fan, but I would say Carson has a better opportunity of being more successful in Pittsburgh than Mason Rudolph. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Well, I think what it speaks to is the question that I have, which is, I chuckled because, you know, Michael and I have gone back and forth about Jimmy Garoppolo. We haven't even talked about the fact that there's plenty more people writing what I've been saying, that it ain't a no-brainer for the 49ers to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. But you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. You mentioned Carson Wentz. That's two fan bases and probably two organizations that look, not probably, definitely in the case of Indianapolis, two organizations that look at those two quarterbacks and say, that position is holding us back. But now, because of the supply and demand or lack thereof of supply, when it comes to the quarterback position, you sit there in Pittsburgh and you say, Jimmy Garoppolo or Carson Wentz, yes, Brian McFadden, would be an upgrade over what we're looking at in our locker room right now. So the larger question I have for you is, does it feel like we are in for a letdown? Are we getting our mouth ready for some orange juice? It ain't but a swallow left in the container, because Russell Wilson don't look like he's going anywhere. Aaron Rodgers, despite the uncertainty in the air right now, all signs point to him coming back. We still don't know whether Deshaun Watson is even going to be able to play, or somebody's going to be willing to touch somebody as radioactive right now as Deshaun Watson because of his off-the-field legal issues. It just feels like a lot of these stud quarterbacks, the idea of a quarterback carousel has been overblown, and it's setting us up for disappointment.
Yeah, it is, and I wouldn't be surprised. And one thing I hate, Mike, is going to the refrigerator and think you got some nice, a cup full of orange juice in that container, and you pour it in, it's nothing but a teaspoon. Man, that gets me fired up. And you just really brought back some bad memories bringing up that analogy. And I do agree with you, because some of the names we've been talking about over the last few months might not get moved. And for Pittsburgh, that's not what you want to hear. You're in a division where you see twice a year Lamar Jackson and Joe Cool Burrow. If you don't have a quality guy at the quarterback position for your team, you're not going to win a lot of ball games against those said teams. And don't forget about the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield, who's been up and down, but yet and still, that's a talented roster. So it's imperative for Pittsburgh to go out and do something, make something happen. I agree with you. Russell Wilson probably won't be moved. Aaron Rodgers probably won't play elsewhere. But one name that will be moved is Jimmy Garoppolo. They have to force Jimmy Garoppolo out so Trey Lance can play. So that's the name they should target. Jimmy G in Pittsburgh.
What if he ain't
I
ready?
Love that together. I think they can do a lot of.
What if he ain't ready? What if he ain't ready? What if Trey Lance? What if Trey Lance ain't ready?
It doesn't matter. Like,
you got a guy. Mike, why? Because they traded up for him?
They gave up a handsome ransom to go get him, right? And one thing we do know, and we know, during this offseason, Jimmy Garoppolo will be moved. And if he's not ready, they might not find out until Jimmy Garoppolo is playing elsewhere.
Okay. All I'm saying is, look, not at $25 million. My only point has always been, I get that they gave up a bunch to go up to get him at number three. But whether you will call it sorcery, good luck, whatever it is, a horseshoe, they've gotten to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game in the last 2 years. People could talk about how the quarterback position is holding them back. Not by much. They've gotten in the last 2 years, Super Bowl and NFC Championship game, leading in the fourth quarter of both, I might add, which, again, is an indictment right. of Garoppolo. But That's in right. both situations with Jimmy Garoppolo, if Trey Lance ain't ready, I don't believe that just because you traded up for him, you get rid of a veteran that you know you've won with. Now, some may say you take a step back and take a step forward. You say, okay, Trey Lance got to play, and we'll let him take his lumps, and he'll get ready because his upside and his long-term potential is better. I just don't believe that there's a shelf life for quarterback development. Aaron Rodgers sat for, what, 3 years behind Brett Favre?
Yeah, behind Brett Favre.
You gave up picks to get him. No, but I'm not saying Garoppolo's Favre. I'm saying the list is long of great quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, who sat. So, yeah, you traded up to get him. But if you got a win-now team and your quarterback ain't ready to win now with it, find a way to keep the guy that you're winning with and that your locker room loves.
Hey, yo, Mike, you're making a lot of sense, and I don't disagree with you. I don't. But based on the moves that they did a year ago, regardless what happened, think about this. Last year in getting ready for the draft, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play bad, right? He didn't play bad.
He was hurt.
But yet and still, they wanted to move on from Jimmy G. So they drafted, yeah, right. they traded. Go get Trey Lance. So now coming into this offseason, basically the same thing. Jimmy Garoppolo played more than serviceable football, but they're ready to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo can win ball games, and clearly he has the numbers to back my opinion about him as a starting quarterback. But for San Francisco, when you traded the capital that you did to go get Trey Lance, and I think they drafted Trey Lance second, if I'm not mistaken, in last year's draft.
Third.
He is playing. Ready Third. Or not, yeah. Yeah. he is playing. Yeah. Shout out to the Fugees, by the way.
Hey, there it is. There it is. I'll tell you, Mike, if the Niners agree with you, if they agree with your assessment that, you know, you can't just underestimate good, solid quarterback play and you can win with a guy like this, if they agree with you, they never would have made the Trey Lance move.
No
they
question,
just don't
Michael.
Agree.
No question.
They just don't see it.
But the problem with that logic, that's the ego that gets people fired. Because it's like, it's the same thing. No, but it's the same thing happening in Green Bay. But same thing with Green Bay, with the idea that, Brian Gutekunst, and I'm saying this is what's been speculated, Brian Gutekunst, where he traded up to get Jordan Love's rookie contract, they got to get him on the field. Not at the expense of getting a two-time MVP out the door.
But it's
I'm not saying Garoppolo's Aaron Rodgers.
I know that.
Garoppolo's availability was a big part of it, along with his limitations. You traded up for Trey Lance, Michael. Trey Lance, now that you have him in your building, is not ready to play, what did you see from Trey Lance last year that convinced both of you that he's ready to hit the ground running with a Super Bowl-ready team? I'll answer. Nothing.
Because you traded up for him, don't mean you got to put him on the field yet.
It was a small sample size.
I'm going to just point out, in both of your Green Bay examples, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers fell to them, and he waited. Yeah. They have Brett Favre, and they've traded up for Jordan Love, but they ain't trade up for future
picks. It don't matter if it's third or 24th.
No, it does matter.
30,
yes,
don't
it does.
Matter.
It shows. It does. Absolutely. As the facts change, so does my opinion.
They made a determination that they had to make last year. With what they've seen in the last year, they may be convinced that Trey is ready, or you guys may be right, that even if he's not ready, ready or not, Brian McFadden, he needs to play because they need to start the clock on his development. I understand that. All I'm simply saying is that there's an opportunity to continue to bring him along slowly while you have a guy who you can win games with at a cheaper price, presumably. That makes more sense than just moving on for him and saying, well, we traded up for Trey Lance, so I guess we just go out to play him. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, this is about winning now.
Like, You make a lot of sense. I'm not disagreeing with you, but they're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo. They believe that Trey Lance is a better quarterback right now than Jimmy G. For some reason, something about Jimmy G in San Francisco, it doesn't mix well. Like, all he's done is win ball games. Like, I mean, you said, like it or not, yeah, he wins games. And this is a team that's ready to compete for a championship in a very, very difficult division. But they won't do it this year, Mike, with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo. Sooner than later.
Listen, I'm caping up for him. There's a lot of things to be frustrated by, a lot of reasons to want to move on from him. But I'm just saying, I like the idea of having depth. We're going to move on from this topic finally. I only have one other question for you. I don't know about Michael, but I got one. I'd like to talk to you about a prospect that a few days ago you shouted out as we're in the scouting combine. Going back to your position, I love this. UTSA's Tariq Woolen. Bro, you had me at 6'3". 205 and 4.3 speed. Please tell me more about this young man and how those measurables are going to translate to the next level.
So what I do is I love finding those hidden gems, the names that most households might not know because they didn't go to the blue blood football programs. And Tariq is a guy who formerly played wide receiver, so he still needs some refinement when it comes to his skill set. But athletically, he has it, and he has that dog in his heart. Like, he wants to fight. He's looking for a fight. And I love that about defenders, because when you play the game of football, especially playing in the secondary, you got to be willing to swing first. And if you get hit, swing again. That's the type of mentality he has. And he was able to showcase some of those skill sets at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. I mean, he balled out playing against, quote unquote, better competition than what he played against throughout his regular season at UTSA. And he balled out. But when I tell you he's 6'3", as you gave the measurables, over 200 pounds, he is going to run fast, guys. He is going to run really, really fast. I don't want to just throw out a time for a guy, but as you said, I tweeted out, I think anywhere between the low 4.3s or something like that. I mean, heck, for a guy who's 6'3", 200 plus, if he ran 4.4, that's still blazing. But he's going to open a lot of eyes, and the best is yet to come for him because, like I said, he used to play wide receiver. He's only been playing in secondary for 2 years.
Ball skills.
There it is.
Yes. My final question. And he loves the tackle. One thing about defensive backs, either you love the tackle or you just tackle. Those are two different things, right? When you love to, you're going to stick your face in the fan at any given time. When you just tackle, you're doing it because you're supposed to do it. You got to love the tackle the same way you love the cover guys, and he has that as well.
My final question for you, let's bring it back, come full circle, back to Pittsburgh again. Brian Flores, assistant coach on Mike Tomlin's staff. How do you think that's going to play out? We talked about the social significance of it, of Flores getting a job when he didn't think, he even threw it out there, maybe this affects my career. But just Flores, the coach, with Tomlin and Terrell Austin on that staff, how do you think it's going to show up on Sundays for the Steelers?
I think they should be dominant once again. Now, granted, let's keep it real. It's all about being healthy, right? If you're not healthy, I don't care who you have coaching these players, you're going to be inconsistent when you're not playing with the studs you're supposed to be playing with. But if they're healthy, this team, scheme-wise, should be able to do a lot of damage against opposing offenses. Man, let's keep it real. They brought in a head coach to be an assistant coach, to be a positional coach. That's an upgrade. They brought in a successful head coach who was starting to get into his prime years as a head coach to be an assistant coach. So now he's able to, exemplify some of the things he was doing in New England, in Miami as a head coach, to be able to put everything together and then rock and roll. I love it. I love T.A. Man, me and Terrell Austin go back to his Michigan days when he recruited me coming out of high school to go to Michigan. And then we were together 1 year in Arizona when I played out there in Arizona. So when you look at what they have defensively, they have three chefs in the kitchen. It depends on which chef cooks this dish the best and who has more input about the spices that goes in the pot. Because I love the mixture that Mike Tomlin can bring to the table as a defensive-minded coach. The same can be said for T.A., the same can be said for Brian Flores, but it's important. It's important for them to all come together, you know what I mean, and put together a big pot of gumbo, and make sure that it's not overcooked. It's just right, and add a spice here from that guy, add a spice here from that guy, and just serve it out.
Yeah, not too dark, but a darker roux, exactly. Filet gumbo. Well, seafood, seafood or filet, either way.
We're talking, speaking of Mike and Michael, I don't like mine too spicy, man. I got the taste bud of a toddler. If it's too spicy, I tear up.
Come on, nah. What's the point? What's the point of having gumbo if it ain't spicy? That's all right. You know what? Your takes are spicy, though. All things covered. We covered everything with Brian McFadden. We appreciate you coming through, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right,
good recovery ability, too. Good recovery. Bounced back, bounced out, and came right back.
My internet, y'all were talking too much about Cincinnati. My internet in my house don't really like that. So, hey, it's a Steeler house right here, okay? Don't do that. And y'all invite me again.
Steeler house. Steeler house, Steeler jersey up there. Bruce Arians comments on Tom Brady. I feel like there's a developing nastiness here. Like, it was very clear what I heard from Bruce Arians. You tell me, according to reports, Bruce Arians seems like, hey, Tom Brady ain't going nowhere. If he's playing football, he's playing for Tampa. Are you surprised at his tone? I mean, it was like some one-liners, but there were some haymakers in there too.
I still think he's coming back. And I just think...
To Tampa.
He retired from the Bucs. You read the statement carefully. He retired from the Bucs. That's why... Okay. Remember we argued about why he didn't thank everybody?
Listen to Bruce Arians.
Because it was time to thank everybody. Bruce Arians don't call the shots. If Brady come back and he want to go, they going to find a way to trade him. Because that's what the GOAT
trade
goal
him?
Want.
No,
he going
not.
To San Francisco.
Oh,
look, man, one of these days you're going to start listening to me. Since this conversation started, I told you what time it was, and that is that time is not up for Tom Brady as an NFL quarterback. We were at the Super Bowl arguing about whether or not the 49ers would want him if he wanted to come back. And we'll get back to that in a second. In the meantime, hear for yourself. Tom Brady on Fred Couples' radio show, not his Let's Go podcast now with Jim Gray. This is Fred Couples' radio show yesterday, giving the latest and greatest evidence that my guy is just taking a vacation right now. This is the off season, but he's ready to play football again. Here's Brady in his own words.
And we're going to end it with Tom just telling, maybe you can tell us where you're going. Is that legal?
I tell you, I wish I had a clear vision of what the future holds. But I think for me, there's a lot of great things ahead and a lot of great opportunities. I know I said right after football season, I was looking forward to spending time with my family, and I've done that the last 5 weeks. And I know there'll be a lot more of that too. So, I like staying busy. That's for sure. I played a little bit of golf, and I'm actually going to see my parents tonight, which will be a real highlight for me on their turf. I'll be sleeping in the same bed I slept at when I was a kid. I don't think my mom knows I'm coming home yet. So it's just between my dad and I is a little bit of a surprise. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to some golf in the next few days and some more family time. And then we'll figure out where we go from there.
I just need you to tell me once again why Tom Brady's retired. Like, this ain't that hard. See, Michael, take it from me. I have this habit, and with all due respect, so do you. Sometimes I don't know when to stop. Okay? Like, I'll talk and then I should just stop right there, but instead I add something else on, either unnecessarily,
Mike,
that makes it too long, or that undermines the point. As much as Tom Brady has talked to the media, as much as he's answered questions, Tom Brady, this would be real easy. Hey, guys, I'm retired. He doesn't have to say, I wish I knew what my future held. He doesn't have to keep adding fuel to this fire. No, but he's doing it because it's the truth. Dude is trying to see how he dipping his toe in retirement. I've told you a million times. He retired. He's put out that statement because he had to. He retired from the Buccaneers, not professional football. Even if he doesn't come back this year, he's coming back eventually. And more, I'm convinced he is coming back this year. I told you from jump that San Francisco was always a destination. I don't know why you believe San Francisco wouldn't. Oh, my God, you said it again. You said it again.
They don't want him. All right,
but just, okay, we'll get to, we'll come back to that.
They don't want him.
We'll come back to that. What I want from you is to acknowledge that nothing Tom Brady is doing or saying right now is that of an absolutely retired quarterback.
Well, that's true. That's true. I agree with that. But I'll tell you this. And we'll see. I don't know what what his angle is. I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know where he's trying to go. I'm going to say this about Tom Brady. I've never said this about him before. Tom Brady is messy. Tom Brady is messy. So you're trying to – and look, you change your mind about retirement? It ain't my life. It ain't my wife. So go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I got no issue with that. People retire on their own terms, and it's not for me to say you should retire or you shouldn't. But if you did this to try to get out of Tampa Bay, that is so lame. Look, it's not – Tom Brady is used to things being on his terms, and when things aren't on his terms, that's when he pouts. So he wanted to leave New England – on his own terms. He couldn't.
But he pouts.
New England had well, he does. New England, he literally did it during games. We got it on camera. He's sitting there just like yelling at everybody. He's yelling at everybody. Yelling at the coaches. Yelling at the young receivers.
Maybe he was mad because he was being held back. Maybe he was mad because he was being held back.
No. He was mad because he wasn't being held there. He wanted to be under contract there. He wanted to end his career there. They didn't want him to. So he got mad.
Well, could have been that. And he left. Could have been personnel around
him.
Could have been a lot of things.
It's a fact.
Whatever it is. All I'm saying is he had the right to
pout. No, whatever. I'm telling you what it was.
He had the right to pout. I got you. And he had the right to bitch. He had the right to complain. Right. He had the right to pout. That's all I'm adding to that. I'm adding to your facts with that perspective.
But if they had given him a contract, he'd be in New England. They didn't give him a contract. He's mad at Robert Kraft still for not intervening and giving the contract. Okay. I'm just spitting facts right now. I'm spitting facts. Okay.
Okay. So what's your point?
In Tampa, my point is in Tampa, he's trying to dictate the terms. And here's Michael Smith. Let me get my Michael Smith robe and white wig on. I wish I had your cigar.
You take off the white wig. You take off the white wig.
And your wife's and your wife's sunglasses. I wish I had it. And I could say, Tom Brady doesn't have leverage right now. Tom Brady doesn't have leverage. He doesn't have leverage. The franchise has all the leverage because, as Michael Smith likes to point out, he's under contract. And until he's not under contract.
Excellent.
Until he's not under contract.
If you were a rapper, your name would be Twisted. You get stuff twisted. Don't sit up there and act like you gotcha. That ain't the same ballpark. It ain't the same league. It ain't the same sport. I almost let it fly. It ain't even the same sport, okay? That's a foot massage, okay? What you just talked about is a foot massage. That
is he under contract?
Kyler Murray and
who
Tom Brady ain't the same thing.
Right. Tampa is supposed to cower? What's Tampa supposed to do? Hey, Tom wants to play somewhere else.
I'm sorry. Since we're reading each other all day today, here's another thing you do. When you ain't got nothing on one topic, you switch the subject. Right now, we're talking about the fact that Tom Brady is not conducting himself like somebody who is retired.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
That's a difference from yesterday. That's a difference from yesterday and from several days now. Okay, great. So we're making progress here. So we're on the same page. Now,
I said that at the beginning. I said that like 3 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago.
Right. Today. And then you got off into Tom Brady being messy, and he's the same as Kyler Murray.
Right,
he's under contract.
Since we agreed, there was nothing else to add there, but I want to go to the next.
Welcome to the party. Okay, good. Took you long enough. Welcome to the party. So now when it comes to Brady and the Bucs, I don't think he's retiring as a ploy to get out of Tampa. I do think there is some gray here. I think it's a combination of things. I think personally, his wife and kids were actually pulling at him. He was going home to be a family man. I do think that he made a promise. Hey, I'm not going to do this forever. I'm going to give this family what it needs. But that can also be temporary. I think he's dipping his toe in his retirement life. I think he's seeing how it feels. I think he's going into movies and got a fashion line out and doing all these different things to see if they satisfy his competitive juices. Meanwhile, he is fulfilling all the things that he has put off for years when it comes to his kids and his wife, his parents, his loved ones, so on and so forth. Seeing how it feels. It's only March, okay? Seeing how it goes. Do I like this retirement life? Do I not? Hey, you guys good? Is that enough vacation? You got enough of dad? You ready to dad go back to work? Everybody good? Did I do good? Okay, yeah. There's that kind of thing, right? Now, as it relates to the Bucks and the 49ers and leverage, because we talked about a couple things here. Let's talk about the 49ers first and foremost. There is no way in hell. Okay, you mentioned the Patriots. I'll go back to your wheelhouse. You mentioned the Patriots. Let me ask you this. Quick yes or no. Quick yes or no if you don't mind. Just for a point I want to make.
I don't mind.
If the Patriots had it to do all over again, knowing what they know now, with hindsight being 2020, and the player that Brady has been the last 2 years, do you think they would do things differently?
No.
Okay. Not the answer I expected.
No, but okay. Do I think, now here's my answer. Do I think they should have done things differently? Yes. I think, should they have kept him?
Okay.
Even not knowing what the future was, I thought they should have kept him.
Well, you thought that then.
Knowing what they know now? Yeah, I thought that then. Yes.
Sure.
I thought Tom Brady should play until his arm fell off.
Until he was ready to stop. Yeah, okay. But so from the Patriots' perspective, okay, you think they would still let him go even though he's had two MVP-ish seasons and led a team to the Super Bowl.
The Patriots being...
Then that makes them stubborn.
That makes Bill stubborn. Only difference is...
Okay, exactly.
I think Robert Kraft... Knowing what he knows now, Robert Kraft would have swooped in.
Okay.
So Robert Kraft
So I have no idea why you continue to say that San Francisco's not interested. The greatest quarterback of all time. If there's a chance he wants to come home and play for his boyhood team, you mean to tell me Trey Lance is standing in the way of that? Because you've already gotten Garoppolo up out of there. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? Of course they're interested in him.
I got a franchise to run. I'm supposed to honor the poster on your wall. I'm supposed to be excited that you
are you're supposed to honor the MVP runner-up. You're supposed to honor the MVP runner-up.
And
the
great. And he's 45.
So what?
You're 52.
What does that have to do with anything?
What does it have to do with anything? God. I'm trying to run at 52,
your judgment
and
is
at 55, and at 60, and at 65, I've got the ability to do this job at a very high level. But a 45-year-old quarterback, when I just traded three draft picks, I know it doesn't matter to you. Three first-round picks for a quarterback who's my future. I'm not giving it to the old man. I'm sorry. No, he's my quarterback.
That makes you an idiot. I love you, but that makes you an idiot.
Whatever.
You are standing on a table for Trey freaking Lance. If Tom Brady wants to play for you.
Oh, Tom Brady. How long is it going to last?
Oh, my God.
Is he going to
I don't know. I don't know.
People who just think.
I don't know. You sound like you want it to end. He just had an MVP runner-up season. I don't care what his birth certificate says. I care what his stats say.
You have to.
I care what his performance says.
You have to.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
He didn't.
Because you know what you end up with?
He didn't.
You end up with Cam Newton and Jared Stidham.
He didn't.
That's what you. Yes, he did.
That's the Patriots.
How did he?
Okay. He didn't.
Yes, exactly. Because they thought he was done. He didn't?
Well.
What I missed?
He exposed their mistake. He exposed their foolishness.
He didn't defeat Father Time?
He didn't. Because none of us will. At some point, your birth certificate does matter in football.
At some point.
Tom Brady is not the exception. Tom Brady is not the exception.
Have we gotten to that point?
At some point. And I don't know. I don't know if we've gotten to that point. I do know this. If you expect to drive to the Super Bowl in the same division, by the way, Michael Smith, for the team that you have celebrated all year long, same division as the Super Bowl champs, if you expect to get a 45-year-old quarterback and that's the key to go to the Super Bowl, beating the Rams and everybody else, I think that is That is a risky proposition. I'll say it that way. That's an understatement. It's a risky proposition.
Let me ask you a question. Are you being contrarian right now? Because you've admitted that there are times you just take a contrarian position just to be just to have fun with me.
No.
Are you sincere in this take right now? Do you believe what you're saying?
I'm annoyed. Yeah, I do. I'm annoyed by a couple of things. I'm annoyed that it just seems like you're saying, and if you're not saying it, if you're not going in this direction, just come back and tell me that the addition of Tom Brady is like a golden pass to the Super Bowl. I just reject that. And I know Bruce Arians said that.
Okay, well, let's do the math.
A couple of days ago.
Let's do the math. He went to Tampa. They won the Super Bowl. This year,
In year one. Right.
This year, they lost in a divisional game to the Rams after a furious comeback thanks to an ill-timed Todd Bowles blitz that allowed Cooper Kupp to run past. But they lost. But I'm saying, in order to get to the Super Bowl, you first have to get to the playoffs, which the Niners are very familiar with. So let's do the math.
Right.
Super Bowl divisional round in 2 years, okay? And an MVP runner-up season this past year. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, we just went around in circles talking about their quarterback position and how Jimmy Garoppolo is holding them back, and it's time to move on for Jimmy Garoppolo. They think they have a Super Bowl-ready roster. Oh, why would they think such a thing? Maybe because 2 years ago they were in the Super Bowl, or 3 years ago they were in the Super Bowl, and last year they were in the NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo. So, San Francisco, Tom Brady, yeah, you're a contender. That's not calculus.
Tom Brady. It's not that simple with Tom Brady. You bring Tom Brady on your roster. Okay, so that's the field part. No, you're not listening.
I'm listening, and I'm hearing you. And you're not making any sense.
No, because you're not. I haven't even made my point yet about Brady.
Every point you've made far about Brady has been, okay, but go ahead. Make the next one. Sir, keep trying. Go ahead.
Well, I hope I can get to your level by 5 o'clock. I hope so. The end of the year. By the end of the year. I hope I can reach that mountaintop.
Keep trying. You have high hopes.
All right. But listen, but I would say with Brady, it's not as simple as, hey, we'll bring Brady onto the roster and everything is going. Brady, as I said to you earlier, he needs everything on his terms. So when you come on, when you bring Tom Brady, you're bringing the entourage, you're bringing his offense, his way of doing things. You've got to adapt to him. He's not going to adapt to
Bruce
you.
Arians.
Tampa found that out in the beginning of the year. They weren't adapting to him. Then he took over, and they won a championship. In year one, it was great. In year one, it was a championship. In year two, they got on everybody's nerves because a guy like that, he'll get on your nerves though. He will. He'll get on your nerves. You'll win championships, maybe. But he'll push you.
It's kind of like working with me. I'm gonna get on your nerves, but I'm gonna make you better. I get it. I totally understand how that works. I get it.
I see your wedding picture on the shelf. I don't see a Lombardi.
To you is, all right, so just to wade through all your stuff to hone in on your central thesis.
God, thank you.
It's two things to you.
It was one. I just heard a sermon on binding things up. I just bound up a phrase that you were about to get. Thank you, Lord, for my tongue.
I'm not going to say it.
I just prayed about it this morning. I'm not going to let you do it.
Give me the clean version. No? Okay. No. I can take it.
No.
I'm a big boy.
No, I'm not going to
do it. Okay. Listen. Okay.
I know you
can. That's fine.
I know you can.
Just so I recap your take, I can't believe I'm actually arguing, okay? There's a line about this. I can't believe I'm arguing your take on this. So you're saying, one, because they traded up to get Trey Lance, that they shouldn't be interested in Tom Brady. Hypothetical, by the way. It's a huge hypothetical. Yes. Let's have fun. Let's keep having fun.
Yes. He's their franchise. They have a franchise quarterback already. They've made their decision. They've invested in a franchise quarterback. Okay, so let me see. It's the only San Francisco. So if you
is
have
it
a young
the, is
quarterback,
it where he was, is it where is, he was is traded, it, or is it or where he was drafted, or the number of picks they gave up?
It's
what
a
is
franchise.
It?
It's a franchise. What is it that makes vision. It?
Right.
What is it?
What is it that makes Trey Lance a franchise quarterback? Where he was drafted, or how many
their
picks
decision.
They gave up? Which one?
Their decision. Their okay. thought. Okay. They've made him a franchise okay. quarterback. I don't know if he. I don't know if he can play. I don't know if he'll be half the quarterback of Tom Brady.
Can we stop right there? Okay. Can we stop? Please. Can we stop right there? Can we please stop right there? Please. That's it. That's it. Right there. That's the point. Because by your rationale.
Right. But I'm not San Francisco. I'm not them. I didn't trade for him.
Here's what I assure you. That's what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan would think. If you ask them, deep down in places they don't talk about their parties, much as they love Trey Lance, love them enough to trade up to number three to get him, they got the opportunity to get Tom Brady, they would get Tom Brady. Because they don't know if Trey Lance can play yet. They don't know. That's the point. By that rationale, the Miami Dolphins, because they drafted Tua Tagovailoa fifth, just as a for instance, should be all set because they drafted him fifth overall. So that's their franchise quarterback. Come on, Michael. That's not how this works. Brady is a proven commodity. I don't care if history does not have a list of 45-year-old quarterbacks. Don't tell me about no goddamn cliff, okay? You don't know when Brady's going to stop being good.
You didn't use that word,
but you said we don't know. He's 45 years old. You brought up his age.
It's a factor.
I'm inferring from that that you think.
Including Tom Brady.
It doesn't happen.
There's only one.
Don't tell me about what could happen. Don't tell me about what will happen. Okay. It hasn't happened. Okay. So I'm inferring that you're saying it's inevitable for a 45-year-old quarterback to fall off his level of play, his perch. Let's call it that. Okay.
Well, his play has. He's not playing the same as no matter how many people say it. Okay, he's not playing the same. He doesn't have the same skill level. His mental game is better. He doesn't have the same skill level that he had at 28 years old. Even though people say, oh, I can't see a difference. Sure they can. His arm strength is not the same as it was when he was 28 or when he was 31. It's not, Michael. And if you can't see that, I'm sorry that you can't see it. But I know that to be true.
Why? Just because you say it? Just because you yell it?
No.
That don't make it true.
No, because I've seen it, because I've studied. I've seen the man's whole career.
We've all watched his whole career. Hey, bro, you ain't got the market corner on the Patriots.
We've all watched him. Everybody's watched all 7,000 of his throws. No, you haven't.
Oh, I have.
You haven't watched it.
I have, too. You have and I have. Okay, so I've watched it, too.
If you think he's the same at 45.
In many respects, he's better.
Okay.
In many respects, he's better.
But this is why you're also guilty of not listening, guilty of the same thing that you've accused me of. You said that's the point with Tom Brady, that he's a great quarterback, and we don't know if Trey Lance can play, and that's what John Lynch would think. That's part of it. But as I said 3 or 4 minutes ago, that's only part of the Tom Brady story. The other part of the Tom Brady story.
Oh, I didn't even get to that point.
Is how he
that was
takes
flaw too.
Over the or.
So what? Only if you're an egomaniac is that problematic for you.
It's not an egomaniac.
Only if you're an egomaniac.
No.
If you're Kyle Shanahan, you're saying I'm not going to adjust my system to accommodate Tom Brady, then you're the problem.
I reject that all.
So you think Bruce Arians? Bruce Arians did the right thing last year. Why would you not acquiesce to Tom Brady? If that's what Tom Brady needs to be successful, and on the other side of it is a Super Bowl, you're telling me that's a deterrent to adding Tom Brady?
I didn't even get to that. Because it's a team, and you can't just sit there and say, I'm going to do everything one person does. It's a franchise. They got a franchise to operate. And so you are so like on the Brady program that you think anything that he would suggest or anything that he brings in. Okay.
Why would I be on the Brady? I mean, he's only the greatest quarterback of all time.
I know he's the greatest quarterback.
And you got Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's the greatest player of all time. But there are boundaries. Even for greats. There are boundaries. There are things that if you want to run a functional franchise, you can't just say I'll settle for anything.
Functional franchise. By functional, you mean what? You mean a contending franchise?
A championship franchise. And I know they haven't won a championship in the last one year, he just won a year ago,
and they were in the playoffs and last point on this, whatever you want to call this. was whether or not the Bucks. Oh, okay. Not last point, but last subject, last subhead or whatever, last subplot was whether or not the Bucks, if this is a ploy by Tom Brady to eventually get somewhere else, like a San Francisco, whether or not the Bucks would accommodate him. Now, Bruce Arians already said it's bad business. It would take 5 first-round picks to get him up out of there. The difference for me is that if Brady comes back, if he slow plays this, and he comes back after vacation, after the summer, and decides in the offseason, you know what, I think I want to keep playing. If you're Tampa Bay and he says, I want to be traded, yeah, they can squat on him, but is that the right thing to do by him, given what he's done? Now, sentiment is not the same as business. I recognize that, Michael. And the Bucks could be within their rights to say, no, we're not going to trade you. Cap-wise, I don't know how that would affect them. But they're moving on right now. If he decides to come back, I could see it being very similar, Michael, to Brett Favre in Green Bay. After a while, Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson at the time were like, enough's enough. We've moved on. Brett wanted to play. They didn't trade him where he wanted to go, but they did trade him to the Jets, and then he ended up in Minnesota. Maybe the Bucks don't trade him to San Francisco, and maybe it's all a moot point. But I do think he has leverage as the greatest quarterback who has given you 2 great years. If he decides to come back and says, I want to continue my career back home, I do think the Bucks, within reason, would be more willing to accommodate him than some other contractual standoffs that we've debated. Does that make sense?
Screw that. It makes sense. Screw that.
Okay.
No. No, I'm not doing that. You didn't sign up for 2 great years. You had this whole drama of a retirement being announced, you coming out and saying, oh, I haven't made any decisions on your podcast, on your Milk Toast podcast with Jim Gray. I haven't made any decisions. Then the next day, it was. I mean, like,
that episode. I thought you meant in general. I'm like, damn, dog.
No. I'm saying on that one. And that the whole point of having a platform is you got news, you got something to say, announce it. He doesn't. Then he comes out and says his football journey is over, and now he wants us to. This is all within a couple of months, and I'm Tampa Bay. And I'm trying to build a franchise or maintain a standard, and I'm supposed to accommodate you because you want to go back home, you know, and just relive some memories from the early 80s? No.
Well, let you tell it. He's difficult. He has to have things his way, so maybe it's not.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not going to give them to you, and I'm going to mess with you, and I'm not going to give it to you your way. Yeah, you know what? You've been a parent for many years. Yeah, I'm not going to let you have your way because I'm doing what's best for us, not what's best for you. And that's why you've got to think about Tom Brady coming into your franchise. You got to do what's best for us and not
what's
best for
him. If somebody came down from another planet, they would swear we weren't friends after the last 20 minutes. They'd be like, do they not like each other?
Well...